Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy.
The number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust me.
It's me, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 285 pounds, from Long Island, New York. It's Johnny G. Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout-out. Arthur, not currently in the room because the door is shut because the wife is WFH working from home, but also wicked fucking hot is also what it stands for. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studio, speaking of wicked fucking hot, and also the first time that my shithead's introduction is weirdly apropos, from the Hey Poopy podcast, I got David Byrd and Ellen Stagg.
Yes!
Yay!
I really feel like I cannot capture that same level of that was I love it.
David, I've known you for like 10 years. We have absolutely different energies. We may have very similar builds, but we have very different energies.
Yeah, but I appreciate it. I think I really need to start drinking coffee.
You don't drink coffee? You live in Brooklyn and collect vinyl and is a photographer and you don't drink coffee?
I know, it doesn't really fit in.
Ellen,
it doesn't make any sense.
Do you drink coffee?
I do drink coffee, but I haven't drank coffee in a couple of days now because I've been sicky.
Oh, no. What kind of sickness prevents you from consuming coffee?
COVID-19. Kind...
No, I'm sorry. Like, no, that's not funny. I'm like, I should ask first. I'm like, wait, how serious is it?
She's like, actually.
It's hard to get the coffee in with the ventilator. It's like, whoa, sorry.
God.
The kind of sick you're going to be, this is, talk about a tangent. I rescued a kitten about a month ago. It bit me. It was feral. And a friend of mine suggested I get a rabies vaccine. So I did the rabies vaccine and I'm having really bad side effects from it.
Holy shit. Here I am thinking you're like, I have a little bit of diarrhea, so I don't want to fuck with coffee. Like, thinking you're talking about and you're like, no, I was bit by a vampire cat and I can't stand the sunlight anymore.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Oh, dude, that's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I am trying to get a hold of a doctor who actually agrees that I'm having side effects from it. It's four shots, the rabies vaccine, over the course of 2 weeks, and it's progressively getting worse with each shot. And I actually, going back to poop, I have been pooping like crazy. I think my body's just trying to detox it out of me. But it's completely preventative. The kitten is in foster care, doing great and living its like happy fat life. And I
you
guess
didn't necessarily
no good...
get rabies. This is like just in case.
No.
Yes. Okay. So
yeah.
But then this
it,
is one of those
it did
instances
a tiny
where the
little bite on my finger, and if it does have rabies, which they don't think it does. But if it does, it's uncurable, so it's more preventative to do the rabies vaccine.
Right. That's probably the right move then. Unfortunately, you're feeling side effects, but probably better than your own wonderful open-mindedness to take in a cat and save a cat ends up being your undoing. The fucking irony.
That takes you out. Yeah. It's like horrible.
Speaking of shitting, we're recording at 11 a.m. and I got off the toilet at 10:59:30.
You had that coffee, so
yeah. Mondays usually hit me the hardest, toilet wise, because I'm just undoing like a Saturday and a Sunday of even worse than normal behavior, followed by like the Monday morning of like wake up. And today I had a celery juice and then a coffee.
You're
that's
totally
a double whammy.
It's a double whammy, all right. It's a fucking I could shit through the eye of a needle if I wanted to. I'm like a -8 on your guy's Bristol stool chart.
You're just like, it's immeasurable.
Yeah, surprisingly, with all this like rabies vaccine shit I've been doing, it's all been solid. It's not diarrhea, but I've been shitting minimum of 5 times a day.
God, that's a lot.
I mean, but it's kind of crazy though. I feel like you're like all like normal. Like, you know, everything's like even.
Yeah. I like wake up in the middle of the night and blast off.
I did that last night.
You did?
This was like, I overdid it on Saturday night into Sunday. And at like 5 a.m., my wife got up to pee and she was like, babe. And I was in the other bathroom. We'll get into it.
But
we have 1.5 baths, which is the saving grace of our marriage for the last 8 years. Me having a fucking sin bin that I could just go in, open the windows and come out of like an hour later. And she doesn't have to ever enter it and see the ghost of Gabrus floating around.
Oh, yeah. It's like the
Do you only clean that bathroom?
Oh yeah, me and a cleaning lady once a month, but not for the last like 6 months. But yes, only, and I still clean it before she comes because I'm humiliated. Like,
oh yeah, well, I do that all the time.
Also, the worst part is, and this is the grossest part, is that in the pandemic, it is just me using that bathroom. Like, we never have guests over, and my wife has her own bathroom. So every once in a while, she'll have to go in there for whatever reason. She'll be like, hey, I think you've been, it's time for you to clean your bath. I'm like, right, sorry. I just, like, let it, like, I'm like, it's just me. Like, I'll piss on the seat a little by accident. It's just my piss. Yeah.
There's, like, fur on the toilet. You're like, that's bad. It wasn't like it when we moved in.
By the way, a fur toilet seat cover. That, I mean, if it wasn't so gross, like microbial, like everything gets attached to it, that would be cozy way to shit.
We actually have, I think Ellen got them. We have two like fur, I have a pink one. Like
they're like terry cloth.
Yeah. But but the thing is like when you put it, at least I put it on my toilet seat, the hole is so small. That like it's just gonna get particles, and I tried it out for like a day, and I'm like, yeah, this is too dicey. It's just too.
It's like a terry cloth cover that like you can take on and off to wash it, but like in the winter, keeps that tushy warm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm like one of the few people that likes a cold toilet seat.
Wake you up.
Yeah, that, and it feels. This is the wrong word here, but fresh. Like it feels unused. You know what I mean? It feels
clean.
Like, it feels like this is me. I'm the first one. Like at the airport when you sit down on a toilet, you're like, no, why is it hot?
It is. There's nothing worse than a warm toilet seat. It's just like someone just was on this and like, God knows what the fuck. I have like some kind of ass disease. I don't know, whatever.
It's one of those things where you know other people are using this public toilet, but you'd rather not be reminded. You'd like the ability to like kind of Men in Black I-beam yourself and forget that anyone else has ever shit at the JFK terminal or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually did research on this, and this might be like a hot tip for everybody out there. But if you're in a like a public restroom where there's many, many stalls, actually the first one is the cleanest because nobody ever goes in the first one.
Oh, because they assume that's the dirtiest.
Exactly. Yeah. I literally, it was like, I was doing my own personal poll for years. I'm like, the first one always seems the cleanest. And then I saw like an article that, yes, everybody assumes everybody goes in the first one. So they always go in further down the line. Yeah. So hot tip, if you want a clean hot toilet, tip. Go for the first.
Cold also, sheet tip.
Also, like, my thing is like, yes, that's true, but it's also like a public bathroom. It's just everything is disgusting. So it's like the it's the least disgusting.
Well, let's get into this. Let's get into this a little bit. You guys host the Hey Poopy podcast. It's a podcast about pooping, something I'm been obsessed with for assorted reasons for now almost 39 years. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like people don't talk about it that much. And that's why I was pumped when you guys were like, had me on your pod. And I was like, you guys got to come on mine to talk about this, because you said something there, David, that I think we all understand, but I just want to talk about the grass. I try not to shit anywhere but the aforementioned half bathroom that I have in my apartment currently. I'm doing everything in my, like, almost all the decisions I make every morning are based around the fact that I do not intend to shit anywhere else but my own place. Which is a little easier in the pandemic when there's nothing going on. Zooming. Yeah.
For sure.
I was about to say, the pandemic must be your best friend.
Oh, it's wonderful for that, because I haven't had to shit in public. I haven't had to shit anywhere but my own toilet for the long. The last time I went to a dinner party was right before the pandemic, and I blew up their bathroom at the house, and there was a pregnant woman waiting to use the bathroom, and she had to go and she was like, I have to go in. I'm like, you really should wait. She's like, no, I can't. And I'm like, oh my God, I blew up this like Silver Lake apartment. Like, it's a one bedroom, one bath, and I fucking destroyed my friend's house.
That is like my biggest like fear, pet peeve, file under all the above, because anytime I'm like at someone's house and I'm like, that's when it's like the worst shit I've ever taken.
Yeah.
It's never just like, I'm in and out. It's just like, oh, I'm in here for a while.
Oh, like at work or something like that. You know, like my biggest fear is, as like an actor, you're on set and I'm like, they're like, anyone have eyes on Gabrus? You know, like they're like talking into the walk-in. I'm like, I hear them all, and I'm in my trailer or in the men's room, just like shitting. And I'm like, please, no one wonder where I am. Like, I don't want any. And everyone knows everybody shits, but the last thing we want is for anyone to know that we're shitting or have just shit. Like, it's like a weird dynamic where it's
humiliating.
Yeah, there's a shame to it, because it sucks. It's gross. It smells bad. It's like all this stuff, but we all have to do it all the time. And my entire life is probably built around the anxiety of having to shit in a situation where it's not ideal for myself. I'm not lying. Like, I wake up, shit, drink coffee, and if I have to go work for the day, I squeeze in a breakfast no matter what time I'm up, because that helps get things moving. So if I have an early call time, like if I have to be at fucking somewhere at 6 a.m., I'll be up at 4 a.m. in my house drinking coffee, eating breakfast, drinking juice, taking my vitamins, doing everything I can to like hopefully leave the house. Hopefully, ideally, get all my shits out before I even shower, and then not shit again until I'm either back home or it's the next day. So I go through
that's the dream.
As much effort as fucking possible. So that's like my day is built around that. And it's all to prevent anxiety down the line, because it really does. Anytime I have a long road trip, or like we're going for a hike, or like going to the beach for the day, or someplace that I'm going to be away from toilets, my wife is like, all right, I'm ready to go. She's always late. And then I'm like, I got to get back. Give me 5 more minutes. And I like get on the toilet and I like try to squeeze. And it's all holdover from a kid and like being a kid and going on road trips with my family and not wanting to have to stop to poop somewhere. So like all this stuff is so on my mind of like shitting right before I leave the house. Like, and it just runs my life. So when you guys wanted to talk about it, I'm like, please, I have a problem. I'm like, I have like shit OCD or whatever. I have fecal obsessive disorder.
Is saying your number one problem is your number two problem?
Yeah. <It's> my number one in my hearts is number two in my bowl.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just it runs everything. Like I woke up this morning super early to get some work done. And I took like just the nastiest shit. I think it was more stress. I think I just woke up because I'm not a work out of you today. It was kind of crazy. And I get up and I see the cat and I'm like, let me just pick this cat up and try to put her back in the bed with my wife. And as I'm doing that, I'm like, what's that fucking? And I had just taken a shit, like a really gross morning shit. Like just like, I just started thinking like, This is where it's going to start. The rest of the day is going to be horrible. But anyway, I pick the cat up and I'm like, I put her down and I'm like, it smells like someone took a shit like in our bedroom. And I look over and I step in a cat poop.
Morning.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know
you
what's
stepped
going on.
In cat poop?
Yeah.
Not in the litter box?
No, in our bedroom. And I was like, what the fuck? And now we have an elderly kitty. She's going to be 18 in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, she's old. So shit like that, it doesn't really bother me, but it's just like every once in a while, I'm like, but I was just so upset. I'm like, I just took a shit and I just stepped in shit.
Do you think she thought it was okay to shit in there since the whole house stunk like shit in that moment?
I mean, probably.
She was like, oh, all right, let's just let it rip. Oh, I guess, I don't know what he did in there, but I guess I'm just going to fucking drop a fucking log right here.
Clearly, he's not using his litter box, so why bother using mine? Yeah, it was a small turd, but still fresh. And I was like, did she shit while I was holding her? It was just, everything was dark.
I've got a senior dog and he has a little of, once a quarter or like once a month for the last couple of months, we find a nugget on the couch or a nugget in the bed with us. And I'm like, oh man, laundry time. Yeah. Oh, I got to do all this laundry. You know, I live that apartment life. So it's like, all right, I guess I got to walk this around the back and get some fucking quarters. Cause my dog fucking dropped a nug in the bed. Poor guy. We're talking about animal shit. We're obsessed with our own shit, but the second you get people who don't even talk about shit or don't want to talk about shit, when they get a dog or when they get a baby, shit just takes over your life. Like, that's all you start talking about. It's like, the dog shit. Don't worry, the dog shit. I took the dog out. He shit. He's good. He shit today. And it's like, how'd the baby shit look? Like, all my new parents' friends is like, baby shit, baby shit, baby shit.
And, like, people with dogs are just holding the bag of shit. Like, I'm just always like, oh, God. Who's walking who?
Well, you gotta for fucking just I like to do this dogs versus cats beef every once in a while. You are like people walking carrying a bag of shit. You have a fucking Tupperware full of gravel and shit in your house if you're a cat owner.
Yeah, like, but, yes. Okay. I have both cats and dogs, and cats come potty trained. They're the only animal that one like they just know. So I would rather have Tupperware of shit in my house that I didn't have to teach the cat to do it versus training a dog for months at a time on how to shit outside. So
okay.
I can play this argument with you.
I gotta give that to you. That sounds completely reasonable.
I have to agree with that. I love when my cat just like use the litter box. See, I think my cats
know.
I think my cat's having problems with the height of the litter box. No. It's a little hidden one. So now I think I'm just going to like cut it down a little bit for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like hard to get. I mean, the cat's so old. I'm like, dude, whatever. Just don't shit anywhere I'm eating or sitting. Like, that's fine.
You're like, look, I don't know how much longer. I don't know how much longer you could possibly have, honey, but I got your back until then. I'll clean up your shit. Just live your life.
It's easy. And it's so small. It's not like it's like, you know, it's not like gross diarrhea dog shits.
Yeah. Well, I have a 22 pound fucking Boston Terrier. It's not like I have a fucking beast mode.
But yeah, you just met my dog. She's 92 pounds.
Yeah, that's like a lot.
Like her shits are bigger than something I ever make. Like, oh, it's awful.
That's like a third roommate, like a person. Just taking a shit in your house. You're like, what? You would never be friends with that person if they came to your house. You'd be like, get out.
Yeah.
It's a dog. It's like, yeah, whatever.
A buddy of mine one time said like he was very hesitant about getting a dog because the shit like grossed him out, like picking it up. He's like, that grosses me out for some reason. And he's like, 1 week into owning a dog, you're so adjusted to picking shit up in a little bag that you're like holding a coffee in your hand with like a bag of shit dangling just like walking down fucking Smith Street drinking a coffee with a big fucking green bag full of dog
hot doodles. Steamer
my dog came into my life with my partner, and she was a year and a half, so she was full grown when she started living with me. And there was a moment where he was like, you're gonna have to walk the dog. And I was like, oh, I don't think I could do this. Like picking up her shits, I was like, like for months. It took months to get over it. And like, and it was even worse when it's like a cold winter and you're picking up hot shit and you're just like, I don't want to touch this.
Picking up hot shit in a cold winter is brutal, but I'll tell you what's grosser. Going to pick up your dog shit and picking up a cold turd and realizing it's not my dog shit.
Oh,
you're like, no, this is somebody. This is a different dog shit. New York is better about picking up after their dogs than Los Angeles is. I will say that as someone who's lived in both places, because I think because you live such a more public outdoor life in New York, like if you try to walk away from a turd, there's usually like 12 Italian or Dominican guys hanging out on their porch. It was like, hey, you know, like someone will say something to you, or there's like 20. Yeah, there's like 20 dog owners out. There's 10 people smoking cigarettes. There's like 5 construction workers. There's just like
New Yorkers LA, will shame the hell out of you.
Oh, you cannot leave a turd in New York. Like you have to like. The one time I didn't have a dog bag, I like made my wife stand there and I'm like, I'm going to go to this bodega, pay a dollar for a plastic bag, like stand over it and let everyone know we're coming back to take care of it. Like you must.
Oh yeah.
Or if like a dog has diarrhea, you have to use the bag and pretend to put it up by smearing it around, but you're not really, because it's just liquid. So you're just like smearing with the bag. Like, ugh.
Oh yeah, and you just like you gotta pour hot water on it and just run away.
Oh yeah, there's no way I'd clean that up. I'd be a total dick. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So why don't I have a dog?
That's
that main reason.
That happened. Me and my buddy took his dog out for a walk. This was here in LA, and we were just like walking around the block. We were hanging out at his house. He has kids and our wives were hanging out. So we were like, let's take the dog for a walk. We could smoke a joint on the walk. And we like just walk around the block. We're smoking a joint on the street. We're not paying attention. His like big cockapoo drops a fucking like puddle of diarrhea on the sidewalk. And we're standing there and a dude comes out of and Adam looks down. He's like, let's just keep moving, dude. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. And like, let's get out of here. And a dude comes out of his house. He's like, hey, are you going to pick that up? And Adam's like, yeah, of course. And like, takes out the garbage bag and he's like and then the dude is just standing there looking and I'm like holding a fucking joint with a dog and my friend Adam is just on the ground like weirdly like smearing like mushing dog shit into grass and stuff and we're like, okay, go get up go, he's not looking, let's run.
that is so foul. I think I'd be like, hey man, whatever, I'm an asshole, I'm not clean. I go, how am I supposed to clean this up? Do you have a shovel?
Yeah, yeah. Some kind of I just throw $50 on the guy's driveway and walk out of there.
Sorry. Do you have a wet vac I can use? Some kind of like device? Because how am I going to get this off the ground? Which is why I like cats.
Well, 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 Din, comma, Mac, what do we have here? Another ad for Mac Weldon Underwear. There's a reason why they keep advertising on my podcast, and there's a reason why I keep saying reach out to Mac Weldon, see if they want to advertise my podcast, because I still wear Mac Weldon. I currently have Mac Weldon running socks on because I'm putting shoes on to go for a run. I changed out of Mac Weldon boxers this morning into Mac Weldon boxer briefs to go about my day. I'm a big fan of their boxers for sleeping. I can't really wear boxers under pants. It's just I've got enough going on with thigh meat, but the boxer briefs and the trunks in the double XL fit my weird ass body perfectly. So I highly recommend it for anyone. I feel great. I have some Air Knits. I have some 18 hours. I have some Silvers, which is the antimicrobial. They're all good. You got to check out Weldon Blue, which is their totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. Once you reach level 2 by spending $200, you get 20% off every order for the next year. If you don't like your first pair of underwear from Mack Weldon, keep them and they'll still refund you. So at minimum, if you use promo code HI, you can get 20% off your first order and then ask for a refund if that's you. But trust me, I think you're going to dig the underwear, the socks. They've got some great outerwear stuff and I'm working out like active shorts, polos. Check them all out. I'm a huge fan of the socks, underwear, boxers, and both athletic socks and the no seam ankle socks. So to get 20% off your first order, visit macweldon.com/hi and enter promo code HIGH, H-I-G-H. That's macweldon.com/hi. HIGH, H-I-G-H, promo code HIGH for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. Hey, let's transition back to human shit. Let's talk a little bit about
it. Yes.
Please.
My preferred subject.
Ew, this dog shit stuff is grossing me out. Let's get back to our own.
Let's get back to human shit. Have you ever stepped in human shit?
Ooh.
Like on the streets of New York City.
I had to have. I've stepped in shit in the streets of New York City that might not have been dog shit. You know what I mean? Like once or
questionable.
Twice. Yeah, like it was like maybe in like on a subway platform or something like that. But it still could have been a dog shit. And I like did get enough of it off my shoe and like pour my entire like Nalgene bottle full of water on my shoe before I got on the F train and shit. Yeah.
I had a photo shoot a month ago. It was down by Brooklyn Bridge Park. For those of you who don't know, it's this little waterfront area in Brooklyn here. And we're down by this water and I'm getting these great shots and I'm wearing these brand new like slip-on Vans with the waffle bottom, like, you know, like those little nooks and crannies. And all of a sudden I'm like, what the fuck is that smell?
Oh yeah.
And I looked down and I fucking stepped in, which I thought was human shit. I mean, it just didn't look like, I don't know what it was, but it was all like smeared into like the bottom of my shoes. And I literally just got the box like 2 days prior. And it took me, like, I've never come that close to just throwing up like outside in front of people. But it took me so long. I was walking through every puddle. I got home. I had to like sit there and like, it was so, I had to clean out. Oh my God. I just want to throw this out. But I'm like, I just got these.
I threw out a pair of Adidas slides the other day. Like, and like slides are so easy to wash. You could just like hose them down. But I was so pissed and frustrated by how like messy the dog shit got on it. I just walked into my back and just threw it right in the dumpster. That's some fucking 1%er privilege shit. Where I'm like, I'll just buy new ones. Burn these fuckers. I'm not waiting.
I wanted to do that. But the ones I purchased, I made these like custom Vans for the custom Vans. So I'm like, I can't get rid of these. Like I said, I had to suck it up and then just like completely clean the shit out of these things. No pun intended. But disgusting.
Doesn't it feel like the Scarlet Letter when you step in dog shit? Everyone's like, who is that? Who is? Oh
yeah.
Because you like mushing the dog. Now we're back on dog shit again. Or it's possibly human shit.
Human shit.
When you mush it, it activates it, and everyone's like, oh, and you're like, it's not me. Like, you don't want it to be you, and you're like, Ellen, it's your shoe. And, like, you're in the person's house, and you're like, no. And they're like, you got to go outside. And you're like, oh, you're like, I'm sorry. It's like, it's in the rug. Oh, where'd you go? The bathroom? And, like, everything is a fucking nightmare, and it's like contact tracing a fucking COVID outbreak. You're like, all right, let's retrace your steps. Where'd you step? Oh, God, you're in the in the elevator.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, you're fucked until you get
home. The one thing about that we've learned on our podcast with all of these people who've come on with their shit their pants stories is it's probably human shit out there. Like we've interviewed so many people who have had explosive diarrhea between cars or just like shit their pants or like saw other people shit their pants in the subway. Like there's a lot of human shit out there and nobody's picking that stuff up. Like and picking up your dog shit, you're like used to it. But when like we had this one guy Brant on and he was explosive diarrhea in between parked cars over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you're not going back there with a little bag. Yeah.
No. No one's going back for that. Could you imagine seeing that? Someone's like, oh, sorry. Let me just get my plastic bag out here and like clean up my mess.
I was walking my dog and I had headphones on the other day. And I go like, and I just said to him out loud, I'm like, hurry up and take a shit or else I'm going to end up taking a shit here. And what I have to do can't go in this little green bag. And then I hear like a noise and I turn around. I had like playing a podcast. I turn around. There's just like a woman standing like a foot and a half behind me. She was like, I was like, oh, sorry.
She's like, yeah, hurry up, dogs. I don't want to see this.
She's like, I don't want to see this fucking 300 pounder fucking painting my fucking sidewalk.
Within the span of getting off the subway, exiting a train and exiting the station, I almost came in contact with two human shits. The first, it was on the Q train. It was so fucking hot. I remember I had to go downtown for some reason, get there, get off the train. There's a guy wearing like a white pantsuit. I've talked about this on our show too, but guy's got this whole like white sheer, like kind of pants on, like, you know, like linen pants. He just shit himself. And it's like all going down his shoe. And he's shaking off his shoe like he's got like, you know, a piece of dirt. So then I start running. Like, I am running. It's so humid down, you know, disgusting subways. And I'm running to the front of the subway. And I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking crazy. This guy like shit everywhere. And then as I'm going up the stairs, there's another pile of human shit just on the staircase. And then, like, in one fell swoop, I, like, going up the stairs, I just jumped, like, Bionic Man, like, over the fucking... And I just remember I got out of the subway drenched in sweat, and I was just thinking, like, why do I live here?
Like, hey, I would say you should move to Los Angeles, but I'm currently inside because of smoke and pandemic.
Yeah, you are screwed.
I'll take human shit over hazardous air.
Yeah. At least you can walk and just walk around.
My biggest seeing human shit story out there reminded me of Dave's story with the doing a photo shoot. I'm a photographer too, and this is like maybe 4 years ago. I was doing a shoot for a magazine, and we were setting up with makeup and hair on the model, and the model is like a mainstream fashion model, and she got a call that she had an important casting to go to. So we had literally an hour and a half to do 6 looks, and I was like, well, we're going to do it in Prospect Park. Let's just get there, bang it out, we'll make it work. So we get there, not knowing that the area of Prospect Park we picked was the cruising area. So there's some guys hanging out there with fanny packs on, and I come to find out that the fanny packs are for so they can drop their pants but keep their money and their condoms close to them while they get plowed in the ass. So
pretty smart.
It works.
A genius.
Yes, it's a smart idea. It's why like strippers have that garter around them to keep their money and their shoe and stuff. Exactly.
I'm so, currently holding up a fanny pack. Didn't think to use it to get to bottom in a park, but hey, you know.
You never know.
I'm prepared.
So we're
just
like
in case.
Walking around Prospect Park trying to find this location to do this shoot. And literally, I'm not over exaggerating. There's hundreds of condoms all over the ground. Like it like dawns on you what's going on. And everybody's like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, we have an hour and a half to do 6 looks. Like this girl's got to get out of here. So do me a favor and just don't look down. Let's just get this fucking done. And we like walk down this one trail, and I see the largest pile of human diarrhea. So some guy obviously just got plowed in the ass and had to let loose afterwards.
It'll do.
And he had his t-shirt to wipe his butt. Oh. Terrible.
Oh man, been there.
I love that story.
Oh, really?
Not exactly there, but I have had to wipe my ass with a t-shirt and throw it in the dunes at the beach.
I've never pulled a t-shirt wipe yet.
I was like, but, you're cruising in Prospect Park.
You've never done the sock wipe? Have you ever done a sock wipe? Like an emergency?
No, I've never done a sock wipe either.
I've done a sock wipe on a toilet. Like,
whoa.
Just out of toilet paper. And it happened in school once. It ran out of toilet paper, and I was embarrassed in high school. And I used loose leaf to get use my binder. And I was like, it was brutal. But another time, I used my sock and just like left it in the toilet. I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Oh yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, in those situations, I admit, yeah, it's kind of hard to be like, I'm not gonna walk back out the stall with this thing and throw it in the garbage. It's just gonna. Just chalk it up to, I'll get you next time, buddy. Whoever's going to clean that up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we've learned you can't flush that stuff. Like in the beginning of the pandemic, actually in LA, because of the toilet paper shortage, there was articles about all these t-shirts clogging up the sewer system there because people were cutting up their t-shirts and using it as toilet paper, and that doesn't decompose. So they're fucking up the sewer system.
They're like, you know what? Today is t-shirt day, not a toilet paper. Fuck it.
Well, that's what everyone has in LA. No one has toilet paper at the pandemic, but everyone has crew t-shirts that they got from being a PA on season 8 of Bones. They're like, I guess I'll use my Bones fucking season 8
rap gift. Here we go. Was that Sopranos polo shirt? Oh my God.
I have is this 30 something crew jacket. I guess I'll figure out a way to rip a sleeve off or something.
I have, knock on wood, never been in that situation where I use an article of clothing to wipe. Usually I just shit my pants and then deal with it when I get home.
That sounds like that could happen at like 11 a.m. and you're like, well, I'm not done with work till 6. I'll take care of it. I'll just let this shit ride, let it dry up, and I'll take care of this when I get home.
A little bottle of like Febreze or some kind of aerosol spray next to me. It's not me.
I started carrying a little Ziploc bag of baby wipes when I travel, and you know, just in case now. And that's like been a lifesaver. Even like to pull it out, wipe down your hands every once in a while, or wipe down the fucking tray on the airplane in front of you. Yeah, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's weird. It's a lot of pubes on this airport tray.
Oh my God. That is, yeah, I kind of go through that when I fly, especially having to use the bathroom, which I've probably used maybe like a handful of times, but I mean, Gabriel and I are the same size, basically. It is not...
Shitting on an airplane is a nightmare. I can't even... Pissing on an airplane is not easy for me.
Every time I do this thing, like I used to do a lot of freelance work for NBC, and so I used to fly to London every year for Wimbledon. I did it for 2 weeks, but on the flight back, my stomach was just always fucked up from like eating like the worst food and crap. So it just... So anyway, and on that flight, I would just be like, I would just sit there with my pants unbuttoned, just because I could not go to the bathroom. It's just too painful to think about the level of shitting I would have to do in that little small space. So I would sit there with like bubble guts, like just the worst feelings in the world on a 6-hour flight going back to JFK.
Oof. All because what a nightmare.
It was horrible. And I did that for like 6 years in a row. Every year I'm like, here we go again. Can't go to the bathroom. I would just sit like in coat somewhere, like in a middle seat, just like, you know, like my life is horrible.
When I was in my 20s flying a lot for doing comedy tours and like weird small gigs like that, when you're in like a foreign city, even if it is like, all right, I'm in fucking Florida for one night doing a show, I'm going to go out and, you know, get trashed and eat Florida food, like, you know, seek out some... I'm like, I'm 20. I never get to leave New York City. I can't afford shit. So I'm here in fucking Orlando. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then you get up and like, because someone else is booking your flights and it's performers, so no one cares and wants to save money. It's like you fly out at like a 6 a.m. with a connection through Charleston. And it's like your flight home is like 9 hours from Orlando to LA, to New York, because you got to stop once or whatever. And you got no sleep and we're drinking all night. It's like, now I'm shitting at the airport I'm departing from. I'm shitting at the layover airport. I'm shitting at the airport I land at. And it's just like, you're doing everything to not shit on a plane, but shitting at an airport is like just below shitting on a plane by how stressful and disgusting it is.
Yeah.
It's bad. Oh, it's really, I told this on our podcast once, where I was coming back from LA and I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I was waiting in line and I could see through the crack in the bathroom, the men's stall, this guy just took his jacket off and threw it onto the floor. Oh. Just threw it onto the floor. He's like, yeah. Oh. And he left the stall door. And I was like, maybe I can hold this in. Like, I don't know, something about like eating that. And then I'm like, what kind of germs he has? And or he's just going to go on a flight somewhere and put his jacket like on the back of the seat. Like just threw it down with germs. No hesitation.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
And that's how COVID started.
Yeah, that's like pre-COVID. It's like people are animals.
Oh yeah,
like at that point,
my wife is very much a germaphobe, and she was living like practically a COVID life before that. You know what I mean? Like not that bad, but she was wiping everything down, hand sanitizing, washing her hands every interaction. Very obviously, like looking at disease vectors and where contagions are and all that shit. And it's like, I can't live like that. But now I see she was right. Like, she wiped down our airplane seat every time we got on a plane together, something I never did. And now I'm like, fuck, that's something I'm going to do forever probably now.
I never did that. And we came back from Mexico City after being in Mexico for 2 weeks, 2 days before the shutdown in New York City. We got home like on a Thursday and my wife was like wiping down, like, you should, I was just like, what do you need from me to help you out with this? Cause like, I was like, I've never done this. I am like wiping down every nook and cranny of the area we're in, like everything. And now it's just like, I can't imagine going on a plane anymore. Cause I just think it's just gonna like, it's gonna be too much. Too much stress. How are you, Ellen?
I think Ellen might be having some internet issues, is my guess.
Is it working now?
Yeah. Are you in the bathroom?
Sorry, my boyfriend is working out right now. No, I'm in the bedroom. My boyfriend's working out right now, and I was trying to be in the kitchen, and it's loud in here. Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
This is working.
No, but you're not as choppy, so it works out. Okay. Your boyfriend is working out. He's like screaming. That's so funny.
Yeah.
He does a very violent specific workout.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit on the floor, the closest to the door where the internet is.
Ellen, you look like you're in a horror movie, like, or like a thriller where you're being chased. Now you're like, I'm here. With like the POV camera of like shaking.
It looks like you're being chased. It's like being chased by a shit monster and just hiding out from like.
I'm stuck in a corner like I've been a very bad girl.
Yeah, apparently.
But yeah. But back in my 20s, I used to go to Europe a lot to show my portfolio around and try to get work. And one night before I left to go to London, I was like partied hard with a friend. And my friend was like, hey, I'll drive you to the airport the next day. I was like, awesome. So I woke up and I was like, all right, I'm really hungover, but fuck it. I'm packed. I'm ready to go. So we're driving to go to the airport and I get that bubble guts feeling where I was like, I'm going to shit in her fucking car right now. And I was like, you got to pull over. And we're on Canal Street in Manhattan because we were going to Newark. And she pulls over. I run into Starbucks, blow the fucking Starbucks bathroom up just with like evil, like pure tequila evil shit coming out of me. And so I'm in there for like a good 15 minutes, like just dumping. And I get back into her car and I was like, okay, if I wasn't hungover before, now I just feel just like pure ass. So we get to Newark and I go to check into my flight and they're like, no, you're late. You're not going to make it on the plane. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh my God, my drinking and my fucking shit is making me late for my flight to London. And I finally just started like breaking down crying. And they finally were like, okay, we'll put you on. And they literally put me on the worst seat. It was like the Virgin Atlantic with the like, it was like 3 seats, 5 seats and 3 more seats. And I was that middle fifth seat in the back, like stuck between everybody who hated me. And I was just like, oh, get me off this fucking plane. But at least
that's like the middle. That's like the middle spot in Human Centipede. You do not want to be in the middle of the fifth row.
And everybody's looking at me like, you're the reason why this plane is taking off late. And I was like, I am a mess.
And something that's like the feeling you feel after you've had one of those shits that like. The relief you feel of having gotten to do that in a Starbucks bathroom rather than a Canal Street, your friend's car, in the baggage claim line or whatever. But the way you feel for the whole day is like, I don't know how to, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but once you do that shit, you don't feel right until you've like slept and showered. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone's looking at you like you're late and you're like, you don't know how I feel, motherfucker. I am, I'm ruined. Something happened to me today that has ruined the way I look at myself for at least until I'm able to take a hot shower and sleep and forget this day. I will not feel like
I'm not right.
I'm not. I know that.
I never got a shit faced before a long flight ever again. It was like, I cannot party like that. Like, cause the tequila just like ran through me like pure evil.
Oh, that's the nightmare. And it's like, not even worried about how like feeling like exhausted or headachy or dehydrated on the plane. Fine. That's all bad. but throwing in that like potential. And then like I always do, like show up at the airport absolutely hungover, jam down like two sausage egg McMuffins, and then get on the plane and I'm like,
oh yeah,
oh my God. It's like the amount of times in my life where I've shit at the airport I landed at, like I can't even like get to the hotel or back to my house. I'm like coming back from a trip and I land at LAX. I'm like, well, looks like, and I go up, here's a little shit hacker life. With the Delta Premium Reserve card from American Express, you get free access to the first class lounge. And it costs money to have the credit card for the whole year, but I travel enough and I choose exclusively Delta so that I can use their first class lounge to shit. And it's not much better. There's still a line of businessmen looking to run the train with their like IPA dumps on the toilet, just like a row of dudes, like it's a fucking gangbang just standing up there with newspapers and suits.
It's
and
like, what's up?
Roll these suitcases. Like, all right, yo, you're up next. All right, cool. I'm going right after you, dog. Just like dudes lined up the fucking. Yeah. But it's still better than the fucking. I mean, this is, you know, America's classism on absolute display. It's like the bathroom that anyone's allowed to use is absolutely disgusting. The bathroom that first class flights are allowed to use are slightly less disgusting. It's like the most display of wealth disparity. Also, the bathrooms for like in LAX for everyone to use are disgusting, but all those people are paying $800, $700 to fly somewhere. It's not cheap.
Oh, totally.
You pay $1,000 to fly home to visit your family over Christmas and you still got to shit in a fucking like poison rat hole.
Yeah, I found that to be
Ellen is actually getting attacked by a real monster now. Hi,
her
Sophia.
Dog's in there.
Your tap dancing dog.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. A tap dancing dog. I'm so with you about that. Like I used to.
I think I told, I'm sorry, real quick. I think I told this on your flight, on your story, on your podcast, third word. I flew home from Dubai and I had never shit on a plane at this point. I was like 25 or 26 and I was on the flight home from Dubai and I was there for like 28 hours partying my fucking ass off.
Wasn't that the, you had to eat like a burger or something?
I ate a cheeseburger pizza from Pizza Hut and it destroyed my insides. And on the flight home, I'm on the toilet for so long. It's a Air Emirates flight, so it's like a nice plane. I'm in coach. I'm blowing up this bathroom for so long. I still have to go, but I'm like, I've been in here for too long. I have to like call it halfway and go sit down and go sit down for a little bit because people are going to be so pissed. When I come out of the bathroom, there's like 9 people in line and I have to walk past all of them and they know I haven't come out in like 10 plus minutes. So I have to put my head down and walk past all of them, sit down. I'm sitting down for 2 minutes before I have to stand up and get back in line. And everyone knows what I've been doing. And I'm absolutely, so I went from never shitting on a plane to doing my first and second shit on a plane on the same flight home. Woof,
hey man,
baby.
If you're gonna do something right, if you're gonna do a job, you gotta do it right. I think that's
I should have just posted up in there forever. And then when eventually someone like screamed at me, I could open the door and be like, sorry, I must have fainted. I have anxiety about flights and stuff. I'd just like, and they're like, whoa, like I'm trying to pretend like it's not this shit.
You should have walked out with like a newspaper and your shirt off, just like waving it, like, woo.
Bro, that's how I shit at home. I shit shirt off, pants around my, I have like, if I can take my underwear off, if I'm in just my underwear, I'll take it off and fold it on the towel rack at home and just be fully
like
nude
be
on the toilet.
While you're pooping.
I do. I like to be as close to naked as possible while pooping.
I think I'm going to try that. I have not tried that yet.
Yeah, we've had a couple guests on who talked about like taking their shirts off, mostly men. I don't think we've met any women. But that seems like a big theme is men like to take their shirts off when they're shitting.
Yeah, I think there was like a joke in Seinfeld about it, like Costanza liked to do it. And then the first couple of times you shit shirtless as a man are usually serendipitous. Like, oh, you're about to get in the shower or you're at like a pool party or something like that. And you have to like run and go take a dump and you're like, oh, not having a shirt is like weirdly freeing. I'm not worried. Like, cause if I do have a shirt on, I have to like, sorry, I'm showing you guys my B cups, but
I like hold it up here like this, so I feel like it's not gonna get in the toilet or touch the paper or anything.
Talk about fear. That's like
splashback. Yeah, any of that shit.
Like I had to take a shit a long time when I was interning down in New York. Oh my God. I was on my dress shirt on and I had to go to the bathroom. I completely forgot about this story, by the way, until just now. And I went to the bathroom like right after the interview and I was walking back to another interview. And I kept thinking, for some reason in my head, I'm like, oh my God, did I fucking just get my shirt stuck in my ass? Like, and then I was convinced, I mean, it didn't happen, but I was convinced for like the entire interview that I had wiped my shirt with my ass and my shirt. And then, so I just kept like the whole time the interview, I just kept like doing this weird fidgeting and like, just, you know, this guy must've been like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, is he like, or
something? That'll put you in your fucking head. Having to shit like, and be in an interview or situation. By the way, for the listeners, Ellen's frame is fucking amazing. She's sitting there looking so normal and sweet. And then a giant dog head keeps drifting in and out of frame. It's so funny.
Are you seeing like a little tongue come into the frame?
It's like Monty Python, the way dog seems like a giant cardboard cutout, just like coming in to kiss you and lick your face.
She's so damn needy. Sitting on the floor to be as close to the router as possible. And so she's like, oh, you want to play with me? I'm trying to like pet her so she's not tiptoeing around, because every time she walks, it sounds like she's tap dancing. And then if I'm not paying attention to her, she's whining.
She's a big baby.
Oh, yeah. She's a big baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dog's attachment is going through the roof these days, because I'm not leaving my dog home alone for extended periods of time anymore. He's not getting a walker because I'm here all the time, and he's really adjusting to the life. He's really enjoying having mom and dad around full time.
Well, but here's a question for you. I don't mean to cut you off, but just thinking about this. So with this whole like apocalyptic fires that are happening out in the West Coast, how do you walk your dog? Like, you just like let him outside for like 2 seconds, or you just shit him on a wee-wee pad or something?
No, we still take him outside. We try to get back in, and as soon as he pees or poops, he hasn't gone on like an extra. Here's the other thing. I don't want to get too into the weeds here, but 2019 was the year that I learned physical fitness and exercise and outdoors time directly helps my mental health. It took me to being 37 years old to learn that like exercise wasn't just about getting big traps. Like, it did make me feel emotionally better and able to handle society better. And so then gym's closed and I'm like, okay, well then at least I'll keep going for walks and doing kettlebell swings outside. And now outside is closed and it's really exacerbating a little pandemic depression settling in.
Oh man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I'm like, I don't want to exercise in my fucking office. I work in my office. I do blank in my, like, now it looks like, and it's starting to feel fucking like we're even more oppressive. And I feel like New York, feels like you guys are handling the pandemic better, but if you get another uptick and winter, like, I think you guys will feel kind of similar in that it's like, I don't want to go outside and I'm stuck inside and I can't go to a friend's apartment because that's weird.
Yeah.
So I can only be in my little ass apartment. Like, I had plans this weekend. It's like, hey, I guess I won't see your daughter this weekend because she, like, you don't want your 2-year-old outdoors currently. So I guess I'll wait to meet your kid another time. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. It lays on fire. Oh, that's awful. I'm so sorry to hear that. It really is. Like, every time I look at the news, I'm like, okay, well, maybe we don't have it so bad here in New York.
Every time someone goes 2020, am I right? I'm like, bro, wait till 2021. That's not something that's like the pandemic thing is like a fluke on top of, like, you know, a lack of structure and all that shit. But the fucking fires, every season's going to be worse. Like, I've been living in LA for 8 years. It's gotten worse every year for the 8 years I've been here. Like, it's not 2020's crazy. This is the beginning of something way fucking scarier out here.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I guess that's all I can do.
Because you have nothing else you can do.
All I can do is shit, fam.
You need to get a shit.
I have friends of mine who are like, I'm so excited it's fall. I go, why? fall just means winter's around the corner and we're going to be stuck inside with this fucking pandemic. Like, this pandemic's not going anywhere. And just because New York doing really well with it doesn't mean like it's not going to like fuck us up again, especially right. with flu season and whatever else coming our way.
And once everyone comes back from their Hamptons house come like September 20th and is back in the Upper West Side, people are going to be feeling
it. It's going to be crazy.
And the Manhattan, I don't know about you, Dave, but I've been to Manhattan a couple of times. It's a ghost town in Manhattan. Yeah. Everything's boarded up. Like, I went out with a friend of mine in Manhattan a couple weeks ago and I had to pee so badly. And there's literally, Starbucks won't let you pee in it. Like, God forbid I do have a funny shit story when it comes to this. So I like literally had to pee, was in Soho. Balthazar, the restaurant, is completely boarded up. Most places are boarded up. And what places aren't boarded up, they are not letting you in your bathroom. And finally, I went into the MoMA store and I was like, can I just pee? And they were like, you can go to Bloomingdale's. So I ran into Bloomingdale's and the people in Bloomingdale's were so excited to see a human being in there. Aww. They were just like, can we help you? And I was like, I have to pee, I'm sorry. So I ran in there and peed. And then like my friend and I were driving around Manhattan and I ended up having to take a shit. And the only place I could find was this tiny, tiny park on the Upper East Side had a public bathroom to it. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I have to shit. Like, no Starbucks. Nobody's going to let me in to shit right now. So I ran into this park bathroom and surprisingly, it was actually semi-clean for being a park bathroom. It was only one stall, but I still did the hover to shit. Because I was not going to sit down on this, God forbid, like it was an open park bathroom. Any kind of COVID could be in there. And God, so I was like literally hovering and shitting. And then my friend who was with me, she was like, I got to pee now. And I was like, okay.
You might want to wait.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. I was messing it up before you.
I thought you were going to say you left Bloomingdale's, realized you had to shit, went back in and like, you were going to say something like you took a shit in the junior's department. Or like just took a shit like on the floor somewhere.
I
was like,
what's the cheapest pair of shoes you have? You like just no, buy just it, open the box and shit.
You know, like, oh Dave, God, I want to text you if that happened right now.
You definitely would have texted. You've been like, oh my God, I just got kicked out of Bloomingdale's. You're not gonna believe why.
in the like 90 plus episodes Dave and I have done, in the beginning we had like an unspoken rule: we were not gonna send each other our poop pictures.
Like, that's a fair rule. I like that.
We'll talk about it until we're like blue in the face and we have the Bristol stool chart to describe it. But like, we refuse to send pictures. And the few people who have sent us pictures were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And they're like, you have a poop podcast. Doesn't mean I want to see your shit.
Not without a warning.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
also, that's another thing. My brother does that all the time. My brothers and I, we do that to each other all the time. Like, if we have like a trophy looking kind of dump, we have to send. But now that my brother has kids, he'll send me pictures of his kids' dumps. I'm like, look at this, Jesus Christ. I'll be like, whoa, he's four.
Yeah.
No, my brother, yeah,
he's Dave a knows that I have these like epic 8 to 12 inch Bristol stool fours, like these huge, solid, no push, no wipe turds. And so Dave finally broke down. He's like, I almost don't believe you. And I was like, I'll take a picture and send it to you. And he's like, okay, all right. I give you okay, but it has to be epic. And so I finally made this massive shit and I got a ruler to put near it to show
for scale.
I texted him
like, are you ready? Like, I gave him a warning, like, do you have consent before I send this picture? And he's like, yes. Oh my God, what the hell?
That's awesome.
I've never taken a shit that big in my life. And I'm like, how is that coming out of you? Like,
solid. And it was like, some of it went down the hole. So I couldn't get the full inches, but the rest of it poked out of the water, which we like to call a Nessie after like the Loch Ness monster. So it was like, and with the ruler, it looked 8 inches, but how much went down the hole? And I couldn't get the ruler super close. I'm guessing it was like 10 inches.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jeez, that's a fucking... That's a victory lap right there. That's something we haven't brought up on this episode. We've been talking about the anxiety and the brutality and like how stressful it is to shit sometimes, but we haven't been talking about like when you have something like that, that can turn your whole day around.
Completely.
Taking a shit like that, there's something psychological about it. Even when you see how big it is, you're like, oh, it feels good to have like gotten that out of me. Like, it's nice that not inside me anymore. Like, the way I feel after the certain brutal kind of dump where you're like, that was heavy duty, but pun intended. And then when it's out of you, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm way more free right now. Like, this feels
completely
good. Like, there's something, there's a positivity to releasing that. It's like moving on with your life of like, well, yesterday's food choices are gone. It's time to move forward. I'm going to build a new foundation from here inside my stomach. I'm going to have something like, green today.
Yeah, it feels like it's a clean slate. You're like, oh, my God, what the fuck was that? And I mean, I never have giant like licking log shits like that. But I mean, when I do have those, like, actually any kind of shit for the most part, I'm like, oh, yes, another day above ground. And I got all that evil out of me. Like, I feel like there's a lot of like, just, you know, except for a long weekend, you're just like, oh, there's a reckoning coming soon.
Dave and I had this nutritionalist on the podcast, and once in a while she will literally text us. And this morning she texted us, I had the best shit this morning. I'm so glad I get to share this with you guys. And we're like, congratulations.
Yeah, wonderful.
Like, nice. Like, thanks. Thanks. But yeah, it is, it's very cathartic. You have a really good shit. This is, it's right up there. It's fantastic. You're like, I can finally get my day started now.
But yeah, that's like the whole thing with this whole rabies sickness. Like, I feel like every shit that I make, like, I'm trying to get the toxins out of me. So it's okay. Like,
yeah,
it's like, and the whether, only good part to it.
Whether or not that's biologically true, if that's what is making you feel like, then well, that's kind of how you feel when you're like, when you maybe went a little too hard, whether it's food, booze, or drugs the night before, and you're like dealing with it in the morning, but you're like, this too shall pass. Quite like literally. once this is all out of me, then I'll be able to, you know, bounce
continue
back
on.
And like, yeah, like it's like my purge that followed by like my peacefulness. Like, I'll achieve I'll achieve a higher being once I'm empty and I require something.
I have chronic Lyme, and I get flare ups sometimes, and I take a massive shit and the flare up goes away. Like, it's like the best thing in the world. And I like a couple months ago, I was tired right before I went to bed. I was like, oh my God, I've been so tired all day. And I was like, wait, I'm going to give myself a suppository because I haven't shit yet today. So I suppository, took this massive dump. And then
I've never suppository. Like, I've never needed that.
Oh my God. Talk to her. She's like the queen of that shit.
Oh yeah. Especially the fact that like I make these amazing Bristol fours one day, but then the next day I like literally cannot shit. Like I'm the roller coaster of constipation to like diarrhea. But so I gave myself a suppository and I felt like one of those cats that shit in the litter box and come running out like, woo! That's how I felt. Like, I was like, oh my God, I have like a new lease on life. Like, that's why I was tired all day. I just needed a really great dump to get over it.
That's like the new, you know, like they used to be like back in the day, the misogynistic shit of like, someone ought to give her a good lay. That'll, you know, settle her down. The new one is like, somebody needs to drop a big deuce. That ought to, you know, like, that's what I'm going to start saying from now on. I'm like, honey, do you need to shit real bad? Like, get it out of your...
You just like, you're like Dan with a bag of suppositories in front of her. I mean, maybe try one of these, you know? Might do the trick.
I'm intrigued.
Get
by
that
the idea.
Evil out.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Get that evil out.
I have no problem shitting. My problem is stopping shitting for the day. Like, if you can get like a couple of big shits in the morning that you like, there's nothing better than feeling like, oh man. Cause I can tell, I'm like, this is it for a while. Like, I'm good for a while. I can have what I want for lunch. I can have another coffee maybe, and I'll be okay. Like, this is it for the day. And there's nothing. And then it's like, now I can shower, and now I can live my fucking life. I can leave the house. But that's all changed in like no longer leaving the house. I'm just sort of like, well, yeah, who cares when I shit? I'll be okay. It's like, I'll text them and say, hey, I'll be 2 minutes late to the Zoom because I'm stuck on the can. Because like if I'm ever late going somewhere in real life, it's because like I had to shit when I should have been leaving. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I got to get on the road at 10:15 to be there by 11. At 10:14, I'm like, I should probably take a shit before I go. And then I'm 20 minutes late to wherever I'm going.
I'm always late thanks to my partner's shit. Because we live with one toilet and one bathroom in this apartment. And for some strange reason, whenever I go to get into the shower, so that I literally have like 30 minutes to shower, get changed, and leave the apartment, that's when his sphincter decides to open up. And then I am 15 minutes late because his shit was 15 minutes long. And it's like, so he's literally, I swear, it's like that Pavlovian dog thing. All I have to say, like, he'll even sit there and be like, oh, my stomach hurts. And I will look at his stomach and go, I'm getting in the shower. And it literally opens up his whole hiney hole.
And I think there's some anxiety. That's like some anxiety. This sounds familiar to me. There's some anxiety-based stuff there. Because like once you're in the shower, it's the toilet sort of off limits. Although...
Yeah.
In my previous life of a one-bedroom married couple life, I did have to storm my wife's morning shower one day and say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I came flying in. I'm like, turn like music on my phone, like full blast. I'm like, I'm going to flush as much as possible. I'm going to try it. But it's come and there's no choice. This is either in the bathroom while you're in the shower or this is in the kitchen sink and there's dishes in the sink. So I'm doing this shit.
Oh my God.
But, yeah, my boyfriend refuses to poop when I'm in the shower, but I have shit in the shower when he's in the shower so many times. And our toilet is literally 1 inch away from the tub and we have a clear shower curtain. So I'll be sitting there pooping and I'll point at his wiener and like point at his butt and like, hee hee. And he's like, leave me the fuck alone. It stinks in here. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's bad. I hate that. My wife's the queen of that shit. But I'll do that occasionally. So just come on, I don't care. I'm like, I care. we have to have some sort of like, you know, divide between the shit world and our life.
I don't mean to go full Richie Rich here because I still live in an apartment, but that extra half bathroom has been truly a game changer.
That's my dream.
It's the men's room in the house.
Yeah.
And it's just a fucking, I mean, I should say it's 2020. It's an all gender restroom, but I'm the one who uses it the most. Anyone's allowed to use it. It's for everybody. But in our house, we use strict rules. I'm the only one ever.
That's the dream right there. Like, I want my own bathroom where I just do my thing in there. I don't have to worry about sharing it.
No.
I'm not going to feel bad how bad it smells because it's going to smell awful every single time.
when my wife would be out of town or at work, which is never now, but when she was, I would post up in my bathroom, shut the door, open like the window, light a joint, have an ashtray there, have my Nintendo Switch in there, and I would... I would post up on the toilet for like 20 minutes, just shitting, smoke a joint, playing with my Nintendo Switch. And while we're on this topic, I find that cannabis protects my fucking public shitting anxiety big time. I think possibly cannabis settles my stomach, or I can't tell if it's a psychosomatic settling of my stomach.
If it works. You know?
That's all that matters to me is when I smoke weed, I can't tell if it's because my brain is no longer saying like, what if you have to shit? What if you have to shit? Or if it's because it has like a true reaction in my digestive process of some sort. But like some mornings, after a Friday night party, I'll try to, or like a big meal out drinking, I'll go to the beach on Saturday and be scared about shitting. I'll do it a couple times and I'll be like, I don't want to shit at the beach. Then I'll smoke like a fucking blunt when I get to the beach and I'll be like, who cares about shitting? I don't have to go. Yeah, my stomach just instantly settles. It's awesome.
Just go with the flow, bro.
Oh, yeah.
The very first time I ate edibles, I was like 25. I had this boyfriend. He's like, let's eat edibles. I was like, all right. We like had pot butter that we melted over pasta. And I just remember laughing hysterically and having like the best time. The next day I went to the gym and I'm working out and I was like, oh, my stomach. And I ran to the bathroom at the gym and I swear to God, we also call this the messy Nessie. I made a mountain of shit so big at the gym. It was like literally an iceberg. Yes. Out of like, and I was like, I don't think I've ever shit that much in one go my entire life. And then I called my boyfriend at the time and I was like, I think the edible made me shit. Like nobody's ever shit before. So
it looked like that mountain from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Yes. Like,
it's and then at the top,
yeah. It's
mostly great, more gravy than mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. More gravy.
It was like easily 15 pounds of shit. Oh. And I was like 25. I think I weighed like 120 pounds at that time. So I literally lost like a whole arm.
Yeah.
That feels good though. That'll do it to you.
You're just like, yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and shooting the shit, if you will.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Why don't you tell my listeners, who we call shitheads, so that works out well, a little bit about your podcast, Hey Poopy.
Ellen, do you want to start?
Hey Poopy podcast is about laughing and learning everything but. So, yes, we do like to talk about farts and poops, but we also really love to talk about butt health, and we've had a rectal cancer survivor on and colonic therapists and butt doctors. So anything that comes in and out of your butt, we actually have an episode coming out with the owner of Rieger, which is Tinder. Wait, what's that? Yeah. It's like,
it's like a dating app, but instead of dating, it's like for fisters.
Yeah, it's for fisters around the world. And so he told us all about how he's like fist shoulder deep into guys.
Whoa.
Intense. So, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's when I realized. I'm like, well, I'm pretty square. I was like,
I've done like a pinky every once in a while, but what? Wow.
Yeah,
but we've had like a dominatrix on who has her poo guys that she shits on and does forced consumption. Oh. We've had like just a bunch of friends who have their great shit their pants stories. But we literally we interviewed this woman from Flush who goes around and talks to sewers all around the world, like about sewer health and what's going on with the sewers. And she taught us about the Fatbergs in London and how one of them is in the London Museum that is literally growing eggs on it.
Ew.
We basically cover it all, a little bit of everything for everybody. So
if it has to do with your ass, we're into it.
And that's wherever people can get podcasts, right? It's on Apple, all the podcast locations.
We're on all the platforms, and you can go to heypoopypodcast.com. And we have a monthly cartoon that's taken from some of our best stories that are pee your pants funny. If you need the visual.
They're really great. So if you're not into like the full-blown episode, you can go to the cartoons and just really have a laugh because they're really funny. And those are animated by the local nightlife magician celebrity Matthew Holtzclaw. And we also, awesome. the last thing I will add, we have a new hotline. People can actually call up, leave messages, whatever, sound effects, 203-998-5579. You can just, we'll play your recordings on the show.
Yeah, so. Our first call-in was like a 15 second long fart.
Yeah. That's exactly what you wanted when you set that up.
Yeah. Whoever that epic person is, we love them.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But thanks for having us on.
Please, thanks so for coming fun. On. You guys, I'll tag you when this drops. But you guys are also both separately majorly talented photographers. So if people want to follow you for your photography, I highly recommend that as well. And
thank you for my
listeners, you guys also take specifically very sexy photos. So my listeners, if you're not into shit, you might be into the female form, which both of you guys do very well.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Seriously.
Awesome.
This has been a real blast, guys. So check out the Hey Poopy podcast. Dave and Ellen, thank you so much for coming on. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys, where we review action movies on Patreon for longer than the lengths of the movies themselves. And yep. And as I think that's about it. So Bye, shitheads.
Woo! Woo!
Happy pooping.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room in.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.